So Tom Brady, Mr. NFL analyst of the future, is at it again, claiming he hit a hole in one.
Dude, anyone that believes that that video is real is a moron.
Yeah, it's so blatantly edited. The ball, it disappears from the screen and then it comes back in. It looks pixelated. There it is up on TSN4. And when he posted it online, right underneath it, he's shilling for, I guess, his own company, selling shirts and pants. And it's like, why not just post the shirt? Good looking shirt. Well, we need some. I mean, it's a cool video, but he didn't hit a hole in one.
It's just like,
get serious, Brady.
How do
the guys
you know?
From laying up are like, or no laying up, they're like, why are people believing this? It's nonsense.
No, there's just no way, Noodles. All right, he's got a new book coming out, In the Franchise, New York Yankees Take a More Profound and Unique Journey into the History of Baseball's Most Successful Team. He is Mark Feinsand of MLB.com and MLB Network. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. How you fellas doing?
We're doing well. I don't know if you saw the Brady video, but are you a believer in technology and editing, or are you a faithful Brady fan and you believe that everything he touches goes in, basically?
Well, the closest I've ever come to a hole in one would be watching somebody else hit one. So I've seen them happen, but no, editing is real.
It's a beautiful thing. That's how we look the way we look sometimes on the screen afterwards. Anyway, we find a way to make it look pretty on the show.
I think I'm going to do my own hole in one video.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Maybe he's actually might be onto something. I guess if you have the technology and the support staff and the production team, you can do anything. The Jays are off tonight. They're in L.A. tomorrow. Shohei Ohtani is slated to be on the mound. And I'm curious, Mark, like we've seen him now for years, and last year he wins the MVP, and he does so in a fashion unlike anything we've seen in over 100 years, if ever. But what is more captivating for you when it comes to Ohtani? Is it him on the mound or him at the plate?
Well, I would say it's probably him at the plate because you get to see it more. And obviously, you know, you're talking about a guy who last year, 46 home runs, and he led the league in triples, and he really, there's nothing he can't do at the plate. I'd be fascinated to see what he would look like on the mound if he was given a chance to, you know, throw 200 plus innings, and what a full season of that would look like. But just the fact that we get a full season out of him at the plate, you know, baseball is all about numbers. Everybody loves numbers in baseball. And so when you can translate his offensive performance to a full season and you can see what a full season looks like, the fact that he goes out there and pitches as well as he does, I think just makes him, all the more of a marvel to watch.
Mark, do you see the team 10 games over 500, the Angels doing something? For several years, it was Mike Trout, best player in the game. They don't do anything as a team. Last year, it was Ohtani, MVP. Still no team success. Is this the year where they kind of, I know they brought in Madden, highly sought after Skip. Is this the year they could turn the corner?
Well, I mean, it seems like they're already turning a corner. Like you mentioned, they are, 10 games over 500. They're right up there in the AL West race. And, you know, with the expanded postseason, there's certainly the window's open there for them to get in. We've been talking about the Angels for years and saying if they could just get some pitching to go with that lineup, they'd be really good. And now you look up and down their rotation, and Ohtani's got a, 2.8 ERA, and Syndergaard's got about a 3 ERA. Patrick Sandoval's been outstanding with an ERA under 2. Michael Lorenzen was a good pickup for them. You know, Detmers has had a couple of big moments, like the no-hitter. So, you know, all of a sudden, there's a rotation there. And Perry Minasian is a guy who I think, if the opportunity is there to bolster his roster come deadline time and the Angels are making a push for a playoff spot, I can't imagine there's anything they wouldn't do to try to better those chances.
With Mark Feinsand of MLB.com, MLB Network, the Jays, their bats came alive last night in St. Louis. Gausman had himself an outing like he has all year. He's got a 2.25 ERA, and their staff has been outstanding. And their bullpen has held it together. It's been the offense, as you know, Mark, that has really been perplexing. I mean, people in Toronto can't figure out how the bats have been so cold. And it feels as if it's inevitable, and maybe last night was the icebreaker, that the bats will come alive. If they're healthy, they will come alive. Do you have the same feeling in terms of what is still capable there with the Jays? Everyone was picking them to win the AL East or maybe the World Series. They're a few games above 500. Do you still have the same faith in terms of where their strengths are, the way they're built, and what could still happen with them in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, I don't look at, you know, 6 or 7 weeks and make any definitive statements about a team. You know, you have to assume that, you know, that Bichette's going to have an OPS over 660 by the end of the season, and then Matt Chapman's going to be, you know, over 640, and Teoscar's not going to be, you know, sub 500 OPS. These are really good hitters. You know, normally when a team gets off to a start with so many guys having suboptimal years, they find themselves, you know, 10 games under and 12 out. You know, all of a sudden you're looking at a thing like the Red Sox started out. You know, the Jays have managed to stay above 500 and stay in that mix. And if they start to, you know, play the way that they're capable of playing, I don't see any reason why they won't be a postseason team. Will they win the East? I don't know. The Yankees are pretty darn good right now. You know, the Rays are always a tough team to contend with. So, you know, I wasn't sold on them being a lock for the East anyway. But I do think that, you know, barring some catastrophic incidents for them, I don't see any reason why they won't be a playoff team.
Yeah, I'm with you in terms of an evaluation through a quarter of the season. But it does feel like, you know, a couple things have really adjusted over the last few years. One, the expanded playoff and, you know, the drop dead date for a trade deadline. Like, it's really kind of changed the way you see the season and the way you try to, I guess, project outwardly in terms of what could happen between now and the deadline and now and the end of the season. And I think it's a good thing for baseball. I think the deadline should be a big celebration. And I like the idea of the expanded playoffs. And I'm curious how you feel about those two items, and I guess more specifically the expanded playoffs, because it's more fresh now that we're into almost the end of May.
I like the deadline the way it is. The August trades to me were always very odd because, you know, a team could try to get aggressive and do something, but you needed a player to clear waivers to make it happen, and it was usually big salary dumps. I mean, the only August trade that I can think of that had a really huge impact in the last 10 years of that system was the Verlander trade to Houston, obviously, you know, which changed the course of their season to the point where they were really good, and then they became unbeatable with a little help, as we know. But yeah, I definitely like that. I like the expanded playoffs as well, because the more teams, the more cities that you can keep engaged, where, you know, you have a few more teams maybe going for it as opposed to dumping, you know, by the end of July, or in this case of this year, early August. I think it's better for the game. I mean, who doesn't love pennant race baseball? And the more markets you can keep engaged in those races, the better. So, you know, a team that might have been in a situation where they're looking at the, you know, what would have been the top two wild card teams and saying, oh, we're not going to catch them. Well, now you don't have to. Now you only have to catch that third spot. I like it. I think it's more playoff baseball is good for baseball as far as I'm concerned.
We're chatting with Mark Feinstein. So you got a book coming out June 7th, The Franchise, about the New York Yankees. And I would say the timing it's probably always a good timing to get, you know, baseball book coming out during the season, but considering the way the Yankees are playing, I would assume that's very fitting for you and the publisher, Mark. And I've been intrigued by the Yankees based on what Aaron Boone said at the end of last season, where, you know, he was basically saying there's other teams coming. He was talking about the Jays, among others, and it's like, we really got to figure this out. And it appears as if they have. Again, it's only 40-45 games, but what of the Yankee season so far makes you believe that this is legit, and, you know, maybe they are a team that can contend for a World Series?
Well, you know, the question for me coming into this season was all about their pitching. It was whether or not they would have enough starting pitching behind Gerrit Cole. You know, what would Luis Severino look like coming back from you know, injury? What would, you know, Jordan Montgomery look like with another year under his belt? Jameson Taillon going into his walk year? Nobody even factored Nestor Cortes Jr. into this, because why would you? But when you look at what their pitching has done, you know, their five starters have made 42 starts, and I think the highest ERA is about 3.3, and I think that's Gerrit Cole. So if Gerrit Cole is the worst pitcher on your staff, that's a pretty good thing to have, right? You know, I'm not saying Nestor Cortes is going to have an ERA under 2 all year, but could he have an ERA in the mid-2s? Sure, he's shown that he has the capability of doing that. If the pitching can hold up, You know, they have a couple guys in the bullpen who have been real revelations for them. And, you know, Clay Holmes is probably going to take over that closer spot while Chapman is out and maybe never let it go. Michael King has been fantastic for them. Wandy Peralta, they've got these guys who they're not the big names, but they've been really effective. And then obviously when you look at their lineup and, you know, what kind of offensive firepower they can send out there, Rizzo's having a nice year, Stanton's having a really nice year, and then, of course, Judge is, you know, arguably the MVP of the league right now. So there's no reason for me to think the Yankees aren't going to continue to play really well. I mean, you know, they're 30-13. Are they going to continue that pace? Who knows? But, you know, that's like 115 wins. But a 100-win season certainly seems like a very reachable goal for this team.
Mark, what do you think Judge's contract is going to look like, and do you think the Yankees will get it done with him?
Well, if he keeps playing like this, I could see like a, you know, 10-year, $700 billion contract.
reasonable.
You know, I mean, look, the Yankees offered him an extension of 7 and 213. It was about 30.5 a year. He wants to be up in that, you know, Betts Trout annual average value range of that, like, you know, 35, 36. If he puts up an MVP season, he's going to get it. So, you know, I don't think the Yankees would go more than 7, maybe 8. If they're going to go with that high AAV, you know, 7 for $250 to $260 sounds about right. But the tricky part of this whole thing is there's a guy across town named Steve Cohen who has a lot more money than everybody else. And if he decides that he wants Aaron Judge at all costs, he could give him that 8th year. He could give him a 9th year and give him over $300 million if he wants to. This guy is worth $14 billion. So, you know, the Yankees are rolling the dice a little bit by potentially letting Judge get to free agency. But I always point out, the Yankees have not lost one of their own players to free agency that they wanted to re-sign. They've never been outbid by anybody else that they really wanted to re-sign. You think about Bernie Williams, almost went to the Red Sox, the Yankees ponied up the cash and brought him back. You know, Posada, Rivera, Jeter, Pettit, all those guys, when they push came to shove, they brought him back. They let Robinson Cano walk because they didn't want to pay Robinson Cano $240. Aaron Judge is a guy who I think it would be really hard for them to let go. They have the money, and if it comes down to a bidding war with the Mets, it's going to be a really, really fascinating scenario here in New York.
Yeah, that would be incredibly cool for sure. And if you're a Blue Jay fan, you're hoping Steve Cohen steps up and he heads to Queens, right? Get the hell out of the Bronx. We don't need you in the AL East anymore. Good luck with the book, Mark. We really appreciate you taking time. Thank you for doing this.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
There's Mark Feinsand of MLB.com and MLB Network.
I think Cohen would be licking his chops to do something like that. He seems like that kind of guy.
It's a grand slam, too, right? To steal from the Yankees, too. Like right. That, it's such a statement in that market. Like, that never happens. The Mets don't steal from the Yankees, ever. And you talk
maybe
about,
that's part of him not signing the deal, man. You don't know what the hell goes on behind closed doors, like little agent talk. Oh,
yeah.
If you just sit and be patient, maybe there's $350 waiting for
I wouldn't be surprised.
Is Scott Boras his guy? Is he going to wear a Scott Boras hat the whole time, the whole season, basically?
That's what Garrett Cole did. Remember Garrett Cole when he was leaving Houston?
Exactly.
Shows up at the winter meetings in a Boras hat. Like,
man,
why not just, you know, paint your face?
Yeah,
you,
exactly.
Face off like Nick Cage and John Travolta. Just become Scott Boras.
Yeah.
Show up and start doing your pressers.
That would be enticing.
That
though.
Would be
you
a
want to make a splash?
Shift.
Like keep him in the same city, but just bring him over the Mets. Just but on a monster deal.
Well,
like, that's
it would have to be right because, and I think from the leverage standpoint, Judge's people are probably thinking if the Mets pony up, the Yankees will have to as well. You can't lose him across town to the Mets. You know, like, it'd be one thing if he left for the Dodgers or something. Like, the Mets, I don't know. I'm not sure that would go over so well.